Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Little girl came to her mom one day and said, "Mom, I memorized Psalm 23. And her mom was surprised and said, "Really? You memorized the entire chapter, Psalm 23? She said, "Mom, I memorized Psalm 23. And the mom said, "Okay, let me hear it." And she said, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I need." And you know what? There's great wisdom in that truth. That little girl got it. The Lord is our shepherd. We're still in this series called Summer in the Psalms, and Psalm 23 is just perhaps the most beautiful, not only scripture passage, but some of the most beautiful literature ever in the history of humanity. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so in this series that we've been in, we've looked at the various typologies and genres contained within the Psalms. The Psalms are a collection of several books, 150 chapters. And so we've looked at the enthronement psalms, the praise psalms. We've looked at the thanksgiving psalms, the wisdom psalms. Last week we talked about those difficult imprecatory psalms. Today we want to look at the royal psalms or the messianic psalms, because the psalms and the Old Testament, and then with the coming of Jesus in the New Testament, point us to the King of Kings that we need to give our attention to. So this morning, turn in your hymnal to responsive reading 38. It's a short reading, but this short reading in our hymnals, number 38, will help us direct our thoughts towards the King of Kings as we are going to look at some of the royal psalms, the messianic psalms, and why it's so important, especially for us today. So responsive reading 38. There's just four lines. I'm going to read the regular print, and you read with me the bold print as we glorify the Lord together this morning. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. Father, we do praise You. If for no other reason that You are glorified on high, that You are Creator God, You are Sustainer God, that You have not left humanity to ourselves to wallow in our sin and in our distress, but You bring good news for Your people. You bring redemption and salvation that we desperately need. Your word is timeless. Your word is truth. And we as Your people hold on to Your word and strive to live as children of the King. We do glorify You this day. And all God's people said, Amen. Turn to Psalm 93. We're going to look at a couple of these royal psalms. These psalms that direct our attention to the God who is King. He is the Lord of all. Now, as we read some of these psalms, you're going to see there's some overlay between these royal psalms and the enthronement psalms, the praise psalms. And so you see some interlay between the various types of genres, but they're all given to us to direct our thoughts towards the one who is worthy of our praise. So Psalm 93, I'm not going to say anything new in this sermon. I have no groundbreaking truth to give to you. My role as a preacher is to bring us back to God's Word and to focus our attention on the truth of God's Word and where we need to give our attention. And so today we're just going to allow the Word of God to speak for itself as we seek to live as God's people. Psalm 93, the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty. He is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. I just want to pause here and remind us that our God is an eternal God. The triune God has forever been and forever will be. There was never a time that God did not exist. There will never be a time where the triune God will cease to exist. He is eternal and forever will be. Verse 5. The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. The Psalms here, these royal Psalms, remind us that the Lord reigns. He established this world. He sustains it. He holds it together. He reigns. He is the maker of heaven and earth, and He is the King of kings. Now, I'm going to say some words here to you. And these words, as I even hear them myself, may cause you to cringe a little bit and may cause some consternation. It may cause your blood pressure to elevate just a little bit. But let's see what happens. When I say words like president, don't start with the gurs, or governor, or senators, or Republicans, or Democrats, or mayors, or city council members, or dictators. I mean, all these words that we think of, these people in positions of authority and rulership over us, we're living in a time, and we have been for quite some time, and it's not getting any better, where words like this just cause us to cringe, right? We all have opinions about government and those who rule over us. I'm not going to name any names here, but Friday I was here at the church, and one of my most beloved congregants pulled into the parking lot, and we had a nice chat. His initials are TB, but I'm not going to give away any, I'm not going to give it away. But he started in a little bit about what's happening in our country and our current president, and we had a nice little talk about that. I think all of us have opinions about what's happening in our country and what's happening in our world, whether it was the last administration, the current administration, the next administration after that. We are living in an age where politics is a dirty word. We see the corruption, and I'm talking on both sides of the aisle. There's not one political party that is holier than the other. There is corruption and lobbying on both sides, and that's part of why we're so frustrated. I get that. I don't meet one person who would say to me, I'm just thrilled with the way things are going. You know, things are going just fine. You know, we all have our opinions. We all have our frustrations. I get that. Trust me, I do. And maybe here is why we need these royal psalms more than ever. Because we need to be reminded, especially as the people of God, the world doesn't get this, but as the people of God, we need to be reminded that we have a king, a righteous king, the king who created all this in majesty. He's robed in majesty. Did you catch here that twice the psalmist said he is robed in majesty? It means he's glorious, he's perfect, he's holy in all that he does. And so, yes, we live under earthly rulers. I get that. But listen, we are children of the King of Kings, the eternal King. And he reigns forever. And we need to be reminded that regardless of how frustrated we get with what we see happening around us, Our rulership is under the Lord Yahweh Almighty. Amen? I would say to you and to anyone who would listen, we need these royal psalms more than ever. More than ever, we need to be reminded and we need to proclaim to the world, God is King and He is just and righteous and holy in all He does. And we need to be focused on Him more than ever. So, Tim, I get your frustration. I do. I understand the frustration very well. And even in our own home, we have debates from time to time about this and that and what we see happening around us. But we always must go back to the fact, as the scriptures say, Psalm 93, the Lord reigns. He is King. And we, of all people, must not lose sight of that. Let's turn to Psalm 97. Just a couple chapters over. Another royal psalm, or a messianic psalm. Psalm 97. And as I read to you, just allow the Word of God to speak to you this morning. Psalm 97. Here it is again. The Lord reigns. Not any man. If we do have a man or woman who rules over us, guess what? It's only temporary. Even dictators who rule countries for their entire life, at some point their reign will end, for they're mortal. But our Lord reigns. The one true God reigns forever, for He is immortal. The Lord reigns. So let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround them. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. Now, I'm going to come back to that because those are key words. When we talk about our King and His perfect kingdom, the two key words that identify our God and His kingdom are righteousness and justice. For they are the foundation of His throne. Fire goes before Him and consumes His foes on every side. Now see, there's some of those imprecatory imagery that we see from time to time. We talked about last week. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. Verse 5 of Psalm 97. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim His righteousness, and all the peoples see His glory. All who worship images are put to shame. Those who boast in idols, worship Him, all you gods. Zion hears and rejoices, and the villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, O Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. I'm going to read verse 9 again to you today because the church needs to hear this and be reminded of this. For you, O Lord, for you alone, O Lord, and only the Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods and certainly any man. For those who love the Lord hate evil, for He guards the lives of His faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is shed upon the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise His holy name. Go back to verse 7 here of Psalm 97. All who worship images are put to shame. You remember the Ten Commandments? You remember right off the bat, God says to His people, you shall not make any idols or graven images. And that was a stumbling block for the people of God. These images, graven images and idols, idolatry was a huge stumbling block for the people of God. You study the Old Testament and you see how repeatedly they wanted tangible, something they could touch and see and worship. And God repeatedly said, no, you cannot have these things. And yet, the people of God continued to fall into idolatry. But you know what? Even today, we still worship images. I would say more so today than even back in the Old Testament times. What's your cell phone? It's just image after image after image. And all day long, especially our young people, we worship images and pixels and digitized portraits and YouTube videos. That's all it is. They're images. We sit in front of our TV screens and we are saturated with image after image after image. We are ruled by sound bites and political talking points. This word of God for the people of God back then is just as applicable for us today. We must stop worshiping these images that are before us and bombarding us 24/7. Our lives are ruled by pixels and megabytes. Carol, I so loved the verse of scripture you read for us today. Because that scripture that Carol read for us today is the solution to our propensity to gravitate towards images. Why? Carol read from John chapter 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God is not an image, but in Jesus Christ, the incarnation, He became flesh and blood. We don't worship an image. We worship the incarnate God who became a man. That's why John says in his gospel, we can see Him. Our eyes beheld Him. We can touch Him. Thomas, after the resurrection, needed to put his hands where Jesus was crucified. Our God, in the person of Jesus Christ, is not an image, is not a pixel. He is the incarnate Word, flesh and blood. We worship Almighty God who is in our midst in the person of Jesus Christ. So let's be wary of all these images that are around us. For they will entice us, and they do. I see people crossing the street all the time, not paying attention because they're eyes are fixated on images on their phone. God, deliver us from our propensity for idols and imagery, and help us stay focused on Jesus Christ, the Word who became flesh and blood and lived in our midst. Let us be weary of images and idols. Turn to Psalm 99. Psalm 99, another beautiful royal psalm. And just like the other two psalms, this one begins the same. I'm going to read all nine verses to you. Just allow the Word of God to speak to your heart this morning as we meditate on these royal, majestic, messianic psalms. The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name, for he is holy. The King is mighty. He loves justice. Oh, there's that word again, justice. Righteousness and justice. Very important when we talk about the King and the Kingdom of God. In Jacob, you have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among His priests. Samuel was among those who called on His name. They called on the Lord, and He answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept His statutes and the decrees He gave them. O Lord our God, You answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though You punished their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His mountain, His holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. He is the King, and that makes us children of the King. These royal psalms remind us that we are royalty as well. Those who put their faith and hope and trust in God become children of the King. That means we also now live as citizens of the kingdom of God. In Mark chapter 1, the very first words that came out of the mouth of Jesus when he began his public ministry were, "The kingdom of God is at hand." This kingdom that had been talked about and prophesied in the Old Testament for ages, now this young up-and-coming preacher from Nazareth comes on the scene and says, "The kingdom of God is among you, is at hand. Repent and believe the good news." And then the ministry, the message of Jesus, was marked by what the kingdom of God is like. Jesus talked and preached more about the kingdom of God than he did anything else. I have an assignment for you today, this week. Study Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus repeatedly, one right after the other, tells us the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of God is like. And he goes on and he gives short stories and parables to help us understand what this wonderful, amazing kingdom of God is like. This kingdom that he came to announce and proclaim. But I will say this. If there are two identifiable marks of the kingdom of God, they are, as I've said before, the justice of God and the righteousness of God. You see, in God's kingdom, in God's reign, because he is our majestic Lord, everything that God does as ruler is just and right. I know we talk a lot today about social justice, and you probably have your thoughts about that. I do know that we live in a world where not everyone is treated fairly. I do know we live in a world where not everyone is treated right. Not everyone is treated with dignity. I do know we live in a world, as we talked about a little bit last week, where the righteous seem to suffer and the wicked seem to flourish. That's not justice. That's not righteousness. Bad people seem to get away with bad things. And the people who do what's right seem to suffer. And you may be sitting here thinking to yourself, yeah, that's me. I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to do what God asks me to do. I'm trying to obey not only God's laws, but the laws of man. And yet I'm stuck and I'm suffering. But the kingdom of God is actually bookended by justice and righteousness. All who live as citizens of the kingdom of God, as Jesus came to inaugurate the kingdom of God, and someday when he returns a second time, will establish God's kingdom in perfect completion. All who live as citizens of the kingdom of God will live in justice and righteousness. I want to give you just a couple of passages along with Matthew chapter 13 for you to think about. The prophet Isaiah had a lot to say about what the kingdom of God will look like with God as its supreme ruler. And so turn to the prophet Isaiah. Do you mind if we just deviate from Psalms just a little bit and go to the prophet Isaiah? Because if we're going to focus on images, let the scriptural image of what the kingdom of God be like rule our imagination. Rule what we are looking forward to. Rule what we are longing for when God comes in his righteousness and justice and makes everything right. Isaiah 35, "The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come down. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground, bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there, and it will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it, for it will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go on about it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there. But get this, only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. This is what I want us to close on today, these last words of Isaiah chapter 35. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will go away. In your struggles this past week, have you had sorrows? Have you had your fair share of sighs? We all have. But get this, in God's kingdom, with God as our King, gladness and joy will replace your sorrows and your sighs. That's the best news I can give you today. Keep pressing on. Don't take your eyes off the King. He will make all things right. And if you don't believe me, just look at what Jesus Christ has already done. And what Jesus Christ has already done, He will return a second time and bring all this to pass. And all of our sorrow and our sighing will give way to gladness and joy.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.